Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man.
What do you think about the game last night in Baltimore, winning that game so decisive?
Baltimore is a tough place to play. And the Bills have been doing a really great job all year, moving the football, being explosive, and you know, Baltimore is really seem like they have it going. So, tough place to play. We know how that feels going into it, and you know, not playing your best there always will be a tough place to play. But we know this week, we know we'll get the Bills' best coming into this week.
To be 3-1, 4 games in, which is a goal. How do you feel about just kind of where the team is, where it stands, things you can improve on, things that have gone well?
Yeah, with where we are now, we're just excited for the next one versus the Bills. Like, a really good opponent coming in to our house. So we're excited. We're fired up about this matchup. We know they're not feeling their best after the loss, and we're not feeling our best after how we won the game. We're excited about the win, but there's a lot of things to clean up, a lot of things for us to fix. We're excited to fix it off of a win, but we still have to get us right as a team, and we'll continue to work on that.
Any update on Christian Harris? Could he practice this week?
No, Christian won't be practicing this week. So he's still on the road to recovery. He's doing well, on the right track. We'll get him when we get him.
You guys had a lot of DBs, even some of the linebackers, play 100% of the snaps, 98% of the snaps through these first 4 games. Is that something that is just necessary, the way you want to play defense? And how sustainable is a large snap count like that for your guys?
But the snap counts is just a matter of we want our best guys on the field at that time. We know we try to rotate our defensive line as best we can to make sure those guys are fresh in the fourth quarter and being able to rush in those critical moments, third downs, when we need them to go get after the quarterback. But with our guys in the back end, our linebackers, corners, and safeties, there's not a lot of rotation going on with those guys.
Why you all were successful in the first half? What do you feel like you all did a lot better offensively, particularly also in the running game too?
Yeah, offensively, I mean, our offense, we've been explosive. We've been able to move the ball. We've had drives get stalled, and we haven't scored touchdowns in the red zone as best we would like throughout this season. So we just had to continue to be as explosive as we're being, but make sure we get points off of those explosives.
As a coach, I know you talked about swarming, and when we think of swarming, it's, you know, 6 guys going for a tackle. But when you see a running back break away, and it would be easy to just let him go into the end zone, and that tackle leads to a goal line stand, does that hustle play get extra credit, extra attention in, like, film studies?
I don't think it'll be easy to let the guy go in the end zone from your question, but they can't slow up either. That's but it's all about effort for us. As I talked about with Kalen, it's all about effort. It's all about finish, and that play just epitomizes what our defense is about, and that's what we're about, effort. You don't want the run to get out like that, but when it happens, great play call by the Jags. They got us on a play, but Kalen's effort and stopping the guy where he stopped him allowed us to have that goal line stand. So that's what we're about, you know, on defense.
What did you see the mentality going? You know, you guys about to pick Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills are a team that has consistently been like that Super Bowl push. You know, and you guys have very high expectations internally. What's kind of my mentality and approach for a week like this, knowing that you guys do have a team that's been towards the top of the AFC for the past half decade?
That really doesn't matter to me. It's like, can we play our best versus our next opponent? Like, all of the storylines on the contenders and all, like, we're in week 5. Like, let's be the best team in week five, and that's the only thing that matters, and that's where our focus is. If our focus gets off on anything else this week, then that won't help us on Sunday. So it's about keeping a singular focus, being locked in on the details of the things we have to do.
What did you think of Kate Stover's progression, including the block on Stephon's touchdown run and also the 27-yard catch?
Kate had a really nice game. First, really nice in the passing game. He showed up, really got an explosive there with CJ. Really nice route, good hands, good finish on the catch. And on Steph's touchdown, he had the touchdown block. Like, we talk about finishing the down on somebody, block whoever's in the way. And Stover showed up there, two guys left him. CJ were able to get two of their defenders to pull out on CJ. And, you know, Cade is right there with a guy coming in to make the play, and he throws a great block. Cade's been doing a really good job blocking. Also, Dalton did a really better job of blocking. Both tight ends blocked really well in the run game.
Think of the second half, y'all had a couple of good first down runs. But by and large, when you run up first down, it's put CJ in a bad hole. What is that? How fired up does the defense get for that since you did that? Can you place the second, third down?
For us defensively?
Yeah, when you played defense, did you get excited when it was always second, third
down? when you're in those favorable positions, I think as a defense, you want to create negative plays on first down. So the D-line can pin their ears back and really rush the passer. So that's where every defense has that goal of creating negatives. And so you can play second and long, third and long. It's just more predictable with the percentages when you're in those situations. So sometimes whether you run on first or pass on first, it's all about offensively just getting positive yards on first down and trying to stay out of third down as best we can. We had a drive there where we were able to stay out of second down. We got a couple plays where we were first down, moving the ball, pressing forward. And that's where you want to be as an offense. You want to stay out of third down as much as possible.
Just going back and looking at some of the film, like you guys did a better job of picking up stunts from the defensive front. What do you think is the biggest reason why the O-line this week compared to other weeks were able to do a better job at blocking some of the stunts?
Our O-line got better this week. They did a really nice job of protecting, giving CJ time. As I told them in the media, anytime your quarterback can throw for 350 yards, he's not just out there by himself. Like, the five guys up front did a really nice job of protecting, buying him time to go through his progressions and to make those throws, right? He escaped the pocket a couple times as well, you know, even extending those plays even longer. But, you know, I was pleased with the O-line and what they did, you know, in the passing game.
When it comes to Stephon Diggs, we talked a lot about his leadership, but was there anything that surprised you about him that he brought to the team that really helped you all, or was it the leadership?
For Steph, the thing that I like about what he's brought to our team, he just brings that relentless energy, passion for the game. He loves football, and I've said that multiple times. Like, it, you see it, the way he practices, the way he plays in the game. Like, he loves ball. He plays with effort. Like, that's all you want. Guys are going to play the game the right way and encourage your teammates and be a great teammate yourself, and that's what Steph does.
End of the first half when you guys were on offense, right after the two-minute warning, did that go the way you wanted to with timeout usage and ultimately what you were able to get there on that drive? I know you want points, but looking back, did you maybe see an opportunity to have a little bit more time, maybe use another timeout?
Yeah, I thought the drive went well. We've done a great job offensively of, you know, finishing the half with the ball and finishing with points, and that's always our goal, right? Finish with points, and that's what we've done. Offense done a great job. We just have to do a better job of coming out in the second half. It's where we struggle. We haven't played well when we've, you know, offensively or defensively coming out of halftime. It hasn't been great. So to get the quick three and out, that's been our focus. And my focus is where we have to get better is second half. How we starting drives, we're not starting the right way, we're not moving the ball enough there.
Coach, how would you assess the first quarter of the season for you? Four games.
For the first quarter of the season, we are where we should be. We're 3-1, and we still have a lot to improve upon. And I'm excited with where we are. We're getting better, in certain facets of our game, we're getting better, and that's always the goal of the season. Is can your team continue to progress and get better as the season goes forward? We're not a finished product right now. We still have a long ways to go to becoming a really good football team. That's us handling all the details, all the small things, and being on it, and that's when we'll become better.
Any update on Joe Mixon and Tank for this week?
Joe and Tank will be day-to-day this week. We'll see how they progress throughout the week of practice.
When it comes to, teaching process with CJ, CJ's really good at throwing the ball down the field, intermediate, and teams obviously are very aware of that, and that's why you guys have seen a lot of too high. What's kind of like a teaching process of, if it's not there, just check it down and keep the offense on track? Versus sometimes you let him do what he does, which is sometimes being able to create and scramble and make plays. What's kind of like that teaching process in that aspect?
Yeah, great question. There's no better example of that than the play with Darrey on 3rd and 18, where they're in the two high and you can't throw the deep ball, right? They're taking away the deep ball. All defenses want to eliminate the explosives, and we've seen more two shell, more cover two for CJ, and he's done a great job of putting his eyes in the right spot and looking for the explosive, but it's not there, checking the ball down to Darrey. That's a great example, and allowing our playmakers to make plays and not always trying to find a big play. Sometimes you just have to take what the defense gives you, and I think that's where CJ has had one of his best games since he's been here on yesterday, because he took what was there, checked it down, Darrey makes a big-time play, and we get the chains moving. So it's all about just trusting, right? You want the big play all the time, but if it's not there, it's okay. Survive the play, get it checked down, and let's see what our back, what our tight ends can do with the ball.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go ahead, sir. Coach, I apologize if you've been asked this question already. Excuse my tardiness. Daniil said that that when they came to the sideline on yesterday, you had a pretty heated message for them as far as the defense is concerned. What were you seeing at that point to have to give them that type of speech?
For me, the energy wasn't there. The how we were playing, it just wasn't there. My play style of how I envisioned our defense playing, it wasn't there. We weren't playing our style, and I did not like the sideline demeanor. I did not like the energy from our defense, and I want to correct it while we still had an opportunity to correct it in game and not wait until the game is over to talk about it. But we had to get it fixed right then.
What's the message to Steven Sims after pretty rough go of it for him yesterday? What's your message to Steven Sims?
For Sims, just, and for every player, right, you just have to be accountable, and that's the message to everybody. We all wish we didn't make mistakes with plays, but mistakes happen. You move on. You just move on. We can't go back and correct it. We just move on.
Aside from the explosiveness that Josh Allen presents, what do you think makes the Bills dangerous?
What makes the Bills dangerous? I think they play complementary football as a team. The offense does a great job of running the ball, the RPO, getting the ball out to their playmakers. They do a great job of keeping drives going, and they score touchdowns when they get in the red area. So, and their defense does a really good job of disguising their coverages. They're very sound. You can tell they're well coached. They're sound, and they play well together. Those guys fly around. Smaller defense, but these guys, they fly around, they hit, they play together, and just collectively as a team, they play good complementary football, and I think that's why they've been really good over the past few years.
Domingo, you had 7 explosive plays the first game. You had 7 yesterday. Did you go in with design that way, even though they played 2D coverage? How many of them off schedule Stroud running around and found receivers for 20 or more.
Oh, yeah. We were always looking for the explosives. Most of CJ and Nico connected on a lot of those, I think. I can't remember the number. Nico had at least five or six of those explosives. But that's that connection that you see. And we want to be explosive. I feel like anytime you get an explosive, you're setting yourself up to score points. So as many explosives as we can get on a drive, we want to do that. So that's always our mindset going in. But you have to earn those. And you earn those explosives in a pass game by you got to be able to try to run the ball to get defenses to kind of get out of the two shell, to get the backers to bite up so you can get the explosives and get the ball over the second level defender's head.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.